103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
One of 3.2 Dublin City FM for the Friday afternoon. It's Brian and Peter in until 3:30. Peter, good afternoon.
Brian, how are you? It is great to see your face again. Again behind that pane of glass from Studio 1 to Studio 2. I feel like I'm that scene in James Bond when he's in the glass box. And
Leave out the glass and we'll just keep the pane.
Wow, that's... Yeah, Jesus.
Who is on today's programme?
Listen, look, you've no idea, for those of you listening behind the scenes, and we noted this a while ago, but we have been working so hard to make this little gaggle collection of audio, radio, podcasts come together. Delighted to have on the line from the Royal Horticultural Society, Tom Harfleet. Tom, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm good, thank you.
That's great, Tom. Tom, for those who are not aware, what is your job title?
So I am the show manager of the Royal Horticultural Society's Chelsea Flower Show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive, Tom. I mean, that actually sounds... You now sound better than I sound. If we were in a pub trying to chat up a couple of good-looking ladies from Galway or Wexford or, I don't know, somewhere Paris romantic, and they said to me, what do you do? And I say... I try and big myself up. I say I'm a horticulturist. They're going to ask you for the gardening advice. They're not going to ask me.
Yeah, which isn't a good sign. I'm not a particularly good horticulturist, so...
Are you not, Tom?
I'd be the devil. Well, no, I am. I can't claim to be amazing. It's where I trained. I've always been in horticulture, but I would say the longer I am in this job, the worse my horticulture gets.
Yeah, Tom, you know nobody listens to The Sod Show, so like you can big yourself up as much as you want here and nobody will be able to hear you. It's absolutely fine. You can tell us that you used to wear elephants in Guatemala or something. It's all grand, man.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I'm a world expert in anything plant-related.
can I ask you, Tom, what age you are?
I am 31.
So you're a really young man to be the head don of putting the world's greatest and best, let's be quite frank about it, horticultural flower show officially by its perfect title together. Let's take away from Chelsea just a slight bit and can we go back to the younger years, We chatted with Anne-Marie Powell of recent. Were your parents gardeners, Tom? Was your granddad a gardener? Did you live on a farm? Did you own a garden centre?
My mother's a gardener, but it wasn't a deliberate career path. It wasn't something that was bred into us. It wasn't something that we had to go and do. I think like a lot of people involved in the industry, a lot of my childhood was outside, but it wasn't you have to garden, you must garden, we all garden. And actually my mother didn't formally train until I was at horticultural college. And so that was until I was sort of 16, 17. But there's definitely a connection with the outside and with plants that has always been there.
I'm still, and I was talking to Ed, who helped us put together this interview. Hi, Ed, if you listen. But I said to Ed on the phone, I said, you know, not only is Tom going to make me look really bad, I mean, and I've got a face for radio, Tom, but not only is he going to make me look bad, but I said, the ultimate question is, like, how, you have to scratch your head and go, how did you end up in that, you know, how did you end up as head of the greatest show in the world? How did it all happen?
If I go right back to the beginning, left school, went to Marriswood, which is a horticultural college in Surrey, and studied landscape construction and amenity horticulture. And then went straight on into garden design. So by the time I was in early 20s, I was a so-called garden designer, or fully qualified garden designer. And by the time I was thinking, I was a bit like, is that really what I want to do? So I ran off, went around the world, and ended up working in vineyards in New Zealand, which was great. And then finally came home and ended up working as a maintenance gardener. So it was just cutting hedges, cutting lawns, And got quite tired of that. It's quite monotonous, and when you're just doing it for other people, there's no real passion or enjoyment behind it. So then ended up going more into landscaping and actually labouring. And that's where I got my break and my chance to do an RHS flower show. And I convinced my boss of the time to help me build a conceptual garden at the Hampton Court Palace flower show in 2010. And myself and my brother designed it. My brother's an artist, and we used one of his artworks as the inspiration behind a conceptual garden. So my then boss, who was the landscaper, myself and my brother went about doing a garden at Hampton Court with the help of my mother with the plants. And we'd never done it before. We turned up, we built a garden, and we won gold and best conceptual garden in 2010.
Holy God.
That's so unreal. It sparked something. When you have the opportunity to do a show garden, I think everyone catches it. Everyone catches that bug of doing show gardens. To win a gold and best in show for our first garden was, I was hooked, I was done for. There was nothing that was going to stop me from doing more show gardens. So then I went straight away, found a sponsor, went back in 2011 and did another garden and only got a silver gilt at Hampton. And then took a year off, a building year in 2012. And then in 2013 was really the year that sort of blew everything out of the water. I went to New Zealand and exhibited at the Ellerslie International Flower Show with a garden design friend of mine called Andrew Fish Tomlin. We exhibited two gardens at Ellerslie and won a gold and a bronze. Then came back home in the March and then exhibited at Chelsea in 2013 with my brother again and won a gold for a fresh garden. And then flew to Sydney and built a show garden at the Australian Garden Show. It was 260 square metres. And then came back and developed a 3D printed garden show. So garden designs that were built on computers, computer-aided design programs that were never possible to be built by some of the world's leading garden designers. And then we printed them out. So that five-year window from 2010 to 2014, really put me in a position where I was fully hooked on shows. So when it came to then going to design someone's back garden, it didn't really give me the same buzz. And then in a chance meeting, someone said to me that the Chelsea Flower Show job was open, and I went for it.
You obviously got it. But Tom, can we backtrack ever so slightly? Because you said 2010 to 2015, you basically went on a show gardening extravaganza. You've also noted and hit the nail bang on the head, which is show gardening is not the same as building, inverted commas, normal gardens. The plant spacings, the craftsmanship, the level, whether they're in flower or partly in flower, whatever might deduct you points. You're more aware of that than anybody else I know, possibly at this stage of the game. But you went on this show gardening extravaganza from 2010 to 2015, which was basically you started at the heights, and we don't like to use the R word on the sideshow because we're extremely happy over here, but at the same token, you did it at the depth of a world economic recession.
Yeah.
How and why? And did people not turn around and go, Tom, God, you're going into what are you doing, man? You're insane. Did you not get that? Did you get but you still went and did it anyway?
Yeah, it's always a struggle. From the first time I went to Chelsea at 15, it was embedded in me that I wanted to do it. And I had the fortunate situation that I was able, I was quite sad. You know, you're saying going back to sort of chatting up girls in bars, and if you said your job title and I said mine. The problem is for the majority of that time, I was living with my parents. So it never went well. So living with my parents and having the ability to do that meant, or the ability to not have to pay rent, meant I could go and sort of further myself more creatively and with the show gardens.
Yeah, and to be fair, Tom, I mean, I read an article in a newspaper, I don't know which one it was, some cheeky lady sent it on to me on Twitter, a fan of the Sod Show, and I think it was an article about how tree surgeons and inverted commas chicks, ladies love men who can care for things and but also are muscular, like basically have my physique, Tom, and my looks and my personality and my sense of humour. But yeah, there's some. Okay, well, look, we're sidetracking entirely away from what is essentially garden shows. Yeah. But you did it at the depths of the recession, Tom. What were the downsides of that? Because I know from personal experience, I almost went entirely flat broke, and I wouldn't be the only person trying to build show gardens because, as I described it, inverted commas, the little people in my head told me, don't listen to your accountant.
I suppose you have to have a unique desire, or not unique desire, a unique understanding of a show garden. They are very beautiful gardens, and they are the height of horticultural excellence. And like you mentioned, you have to get the flowering right. You have to get the level of detail is immense. It has to be perfect. But then actually, if you look at it as a platform, and all the shows all over the world are platforms for people to, as charities, to talk about a message, or a sponsor to talk about its new product, or in some of the cases, I worked with Philips, and they wanted to showcase a new light. So enabling them to have a platform to show how this light could work to an audience the size of Hampton Court's audience, puts you, if you look at it that way and sell it in that way, then the recession wasn't an issue. So if you look at Chelsea, for example, we have 166,000 visitors a year. We receive over, I think it's 11 million UK-based TV viewers. Global TV viewership is in the hundreds of millions, and I think the global reach is being quoted at 1.2 billion. So if you can sell in an idea to someone who's trying to communicate something to a wide audience, then a flower show is actually the perfect platform to do that on. Now, it took me a long time to get to that point. And my foundation in horticulture enabled me to, as I learned those points, act and deliver what they wanted in a way that was also appealing to the world of horticulture.
Tom.
Yeah,
Brian, the non-gardener here.
Yeah.
To me, and I ask this, you know, knowing that it might offend some people, but is show gardens the creme de la creme? They are beautiful, but are they a bit like the couture version of fashion, that they're not what people are going to have themselves?
I think you can. They're the Formula One of gardening. They're pushing the boundary. My practice and my work was always quite conceptual and quite forward-thinking, and I would say there's definitely a place for that. Obviously, people want to come to a show like Chelsea and see ideas they can take home to their own garden, and I think there's a place for that as well. So the ideal show would have gardens that are able to be achieved and gardens that are pushing the boundaries. So I think it should be a balance. It shouldn't be one or the other. So I would hope that you would be able to come to one of our shows and say, that seems achievable, I could take that home. But then also be wowed and amazed.
Can I ask you this question, Tom? And you're a 31-year-old or 31-year young man. I'm a little bit, fair to say, older than you. I guess, in a sense, horticulture is possibly getting, and this is RHS, or Royal Horticultural Society, aside, but this whole, I guess, chicken and egg thing of you need to bring young people into gardening. And again, a couple of years ago, I know there would have been press releases going out about, you know, we need to make it mandatory in schools and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And what schemes can we bring in? And, you know, the Green and Grey Britain thing, to be honest with you, and the gardening in small spaces, for me, has maybe a role in it. In a sense, it's kind of, I guess I understand, having been involved or growing plants from about the age of five, up, you know, which is a long time now, without giving my age away. But at the same token, you know, I understand why younger than me. People would not want to get into horticulture, and equally I understand all of the reasons why they should. I understand why their mothers would want them to be involved in it, and equally I understand why their parents may also not encourage them to grow plants when you've got hurling or football or rugby or whatever the case may be that's on the go. You've done the thing from a really young age. You had a mom who was involved in it. I didn't on my side. My parents were never involved in it. You're now doing the Chelsea thing. As Brian kind of noted, you've got this kind of couture maybe, and he's the non-gardener, bear that in mind, not being disrespectful to you, Brian, but you have the elite, the top, the creme de la creme of the horticultural world, walking through those gates. It's all over TV. It's 1 week long on the BBC. Do you get to stand, I guess, in the middle of the people who have paid to come through those gates and listen to the younger generation? I say the younger generation, I mean a third of your age and below that, turn around and go, I like that because, and they don't maybe notice the symbolism that you would know because the garden designer has told you is hidden in between that garden. Do you get to hear those wee little gems? Do they exist?
They exist. I was one of them. Do I get the time now to do that? No, not so much. But do I hope they're happening more? I hope so. I think, like you said, I think it may have been a couple of years ago, it was really in like the forefront, like that we must encourage more young people into horticulture. But I don't think we shouldn't stop pushing it. Mm. We shouldn't make it, it shouldn't be off the agenda. It should be on the agenda. Obviously, I've gone quite a weird way into the career and to the place where I am. And to get to where I am at my age is I suppose, quite well done. But horticulture's got massive scope. There's so many different ways you can access horticulture. You're a horticulturalist. You've been growing things since you were five, and now you're on the radio. So there are so many different avenues you can get into. I would happily sit down with any teenager child and show them how, by accessing horticulture, they could probably get to the same career aim as they wanted to without being involved in horticulture. It's that vast. Does that make sense?
It does indeed make sense, Tom. It does. It does. Here's. Let me give you a pop quiz round then, Tom. The things that irk you about gardening the most, and now you can pick anything. You can pick dwarf conifers from the 1980s. We'll put that in with the Bee Gees kind of vinyl music collection lovers, and that's not, which is fine. I mean, some people like Dylan. Some people think Neil Young should have stayed with the other three lads. It's each their own. What things get in your nerves the most, Tom, in gardening? You can include anything you want in that.
Anything
you like.
Anything.
Kneeling pads for gardeners, readers, offers. Anything at all, Tom. They're all in there.
Decking.
Oh, they're brilliant, though. Those kneeling pads.
Really?
Yeah, great. Especially in the winter. You don't want to get cold knees.
Holy good God. I didn't know you were one of them. This is where we disagree. I would have kneeled on the Bee Gees final. Save yourself a fortune.
Yeah. Those knee pads, they're good.
Yeah, no.
Dark day when you have to like bend over and like kneel on like your glove. You're like working with one glove on because you're kneeling one knee down with your other glove underneath it. Kneeling pads are good.
We've just fallen out, Tom. I just had a love affair with Anne-Marie Powell. Apparently, we're moving in together. She's leaving her husband, and because we like to go to festivals, and apparently she likes.
She told me that last week.
She what? Oh, for God, Dad, Anne-Marie. She's at it again. She's at it again.
Something I don't like in gardening: the cold, the wet.
We've loads of that over here.
Yeah. cold and wet.
Cold and wet. That about the height? What's the good? This is the easy one then, Tom. What's the good bits? What is a great day for Tom Hartfleet in the horticultural world? What is the best day? What is a glorious one?
Eating a tomato in a warm greenhouse that's just been picked.
Wow.
You've grown. You know that smell?
I do. Yeah.
That you get?
Yeah, yeah, it never leaves your finger. It takes ages to get off your fingers, and it sounds a little bit funny, but walking down the street smelling your own hands is a really funny thing for other people to see.
Yeah, it is. But you never get that taste. You can go and buy them anyway. You'll never get that taste.
No.
Apart from homegrown tomatoes. So that's the best thing. That's the best thing.
back to Chelsea, Tom. Here's the big thing. What is a daily job for you, let's say, as we stand at this moment in time? Is it a, I can get away with doing a 9-to-5? When does it start to ramp up for you?
So it's already ramping up. We operate on over a 12-month lead time. I think we're pretty much almost on a 16, 17-month lead time. So 16 is at the forefront of our minds, but 17 is also very much at the centre of our attention. So it is longer than a 9-to-5 at the moment, but not much longer. But in the next couple of months, it will start getting very long, and then as soon as we're on site, it's 13, 14-hour days every day until the show's over. But yeah, it's a good work-life balance. I'm not going to complain about it. It's a job that I think to do it, you've got to love it. But it's a great job.
I think I will agree with you there, and I think any gardener or horticulturist in the world would turn around and say to you, particularly in the climate where we live, Tom, which is that we understood that the weather was pants before we decided to go to college. But I think loving what you do for a living makes it, unbearable isn't the word, that's it doesn't even come into the vocabulary in that one, but equally enjoyable when it's raining and when the sun is shining. Your mom, Tom, can I ask you this one? Is she proud of her son?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask her.
We have her online too. Mom, come in. No, I'm joking.
yeah, I think so. My whole life is horticulture. My fiance is a garden designer, and my fiance and my mother actually exhibited at Hampton Court last year and won People's Choice.
Holy good God! Wow.
And Catherine, my fiance at the time, was 6 months pregnant. So actually, I would probably say I'm more proud of them for doing that than they are for me doing what I do, because what I do is just a job. What they did for a charity was probably more, on the budget they did, was probably more than what I ever did, because I always had budgets and now it's a job and I go to work every day and just do it, regardless of the level it's at. What they did of trying to cobbling a garden together and winning a silver and winning People's Choice for a charity, I think that was probably, so I'm more proud of them.
Tom, for those who aren't aware, if you have never been to Chelsea Flower Show before, number one, it is massive. It is the horticultural Rolls Royce of the gardening world, of gardens at a level that I have never fully seen before, with some budgets that are absolutely astronomical. And I know so many gardeners who do go across to see it year on year on year. For the non-gardeners who have never been to Chelsea Flower Show before, how hard are tickets to come by, number one, and is it worth their while to go along?
Tickets have been on sale since, I think, early November, November, and then non-members December, I think. Those dates might be wrong. And when the press department listen into this interview, they're going to be cross with me because I've probably got those wrong. But there are still tickets available. So definitely have a look if you're thinking of coming. And yeah, of course it's worth it. It's great. It's not just, it's a fantastic day out. You're in the hubbub of London and then you're surrounded. It's 11 acres, so it's quite a small site, but it's 11 acres of some of the world's greatest horticulture lists and horticulture. It's a global celebration. We have the marquee with exhibitors from all over the world. We have 105 nurseries exhibiting in the marquee. We have 17 show gardens. We have 6 fresh and 6 artisan gardens. And then, I can't remember the exact number, but multiples of trade stands, selling from the high range sort of garden buildings to the world-leading secateurs. It's great. If you love gardening or if you love a nice day out, Chelsea's the place to be in May.
Okay, for those of you listening, if you have never been to the Chelsea Flower Show before, mark my words on this one. If you don't like gardening, if you do love gardening, if you think you might like to go, if you've ever been to a music festival, if you've ever even gone shopping in your lifetime, this is one of these things that you just have to do. It's like standing underneath the Eiffel Tower and falling in love listening to We're Back to It, Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits. It happens all again. Go to Chelsea. get off the line, don't get off the line, don't get off anything. At Sod Show on Twitter, we'll send you the link, or sodshow.com, or they are the RHS, or the underscore RHS on Twitter. Just go ask them, they'll send you a link, or we'll drop you a link. Book your tickets, pull out the credit card, go there. Brian Green, non-Gardener, would you go to Chelsea Flower Show now, based on what Tom just said?
Do you know that Elvis Costello song, I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea?
Yeah, that's answer the question. Would you go to Chelsea, Brian?
I've been to Kew Gardens. I'd go to Chelsea, yes.
How is that the same thing? I've been to Kew Gardens. I'll go to Chelsea.
Tom, you've no idea. Brian has a hedge. Brian has a hedge in his front garden. It's like me showing you a bird, like a little robin redbreast, and you saying, "Yep, I've got a Boeing 747." As far as he's concerned, both of them just fly. That's just the way it is.
That's me.
That's it.
Do you like Pims?
Yes.
You'll love Chelsea.
Okay. I do have a question for you. You came into the world of horticulture the non-conventional way. What would your advice be to somebody who's in career guidance and wondering how to enter? What would you say to them?
Find your local horticultural college. That would be my advice.
And check it out.
Go there. There'll be experts there. There'll be the people there to help you.
Yeah.
My journey started in a careers book for geography, because I was really good at geography, and it came up as landscape architect, and I thought that looked interesting, and then ended up on this road. So it's not actually the career, but that's how it started, was just skipping through a careers book at 16. So yeah, and I ended up going to horticulture college. The skills and expertise are there. Obviously there are loads of RHS courses you can do online and distance learning, but yeah, go and engage.
Okay, for those of you listening at home, if you're looking for any of the contact details, you're walking, listening to this, and you got your headphones in, you're driving in the car, no need to pull over. At Sod Show on Twitter, we've got Tom's handle there. We'll send it on to you if you're stuck and you're listening to this in the future. We've got the contact details for all the RHS stuff. There's links up on sodshow.com to get RHS Chelsea Flower Show tickets, but take my advice. Don't hang around on this one. Book them now. The thing is always sold out, but you do not want to miss it. It is more than well worth doing. And when you go do it, send Tom a note and say, "Tom, you did a sterling job," and then you can come back and send us a photograph or a selfie of you just there. Tom Hartfleet, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real wonderful pleasure, Tom.
That's okay. Are you coming to the show?
Oh, we will indeed, Tom. Myself and Brian are going. We're going to show them we're going to show them the Pims, and we're going to show them real gardens, Tom.
So you just tweet me. Let me know when you're there.
We'll do.
We will do, Tom, and we'll buy you a pint of Guinness when we're finished with the Pims.
Good.
Pleasure, my man. Take care. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
That was the very wonderful Tom Hartfleet, with thanks to the Royal Horticultural Society, Ed and team, full team behind the scenes. A long time in the pipeline. We've managed to piece it together. We've managed to make it happen. Thank you so much, lads.
Just time to say, at Sodshow on Twitter during the week, info@sodshow.com. Sodshow.com for the back catalogue of 5 years of programmes. We are 5 years old, Peter.
We're 5 years old. Congratulations, my man.
It's been great. 5 years. Thank you for being with me. We're back next Friday at 3 o'clock. Join us then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Salam. Bye-bye.